Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Lena Jones Diamond Network Show. This is the place where you and your business are the stars. Now welcome your host, Lena Jones.
Hey, what's up, Diamonds? This is Lena Jones here, and you are listening live to the Lena Jones Diamond Network Show. Today is our Diamond Forum Monday. The Diamond Forum, in case you don't know, it's a panel of past guests, future guests, maybe people that haven't even been on the show, that I ask if they want to be on the discussion panel. And we come on and we talk about two different trending topics for about, it starts like 3:15 and ends at about 4:45 or something like that. So the subjects get pretty heated. Well, they haven't, but they are because I'm now going into more controversial subjects for the show. So, and when it comes to the subjects that are picked, I usually have a list of subjects and I ask the panel, whoever's going to be on it, to pick which one. And the one the majority rules, those are the two subjects that we do discuss. So I don't personally pick them. I'm kind of neutral. Whatever the majority picks, I just go along with it. And then that's what I post about the subject. But I don't really pick them. I just go and write down the list of them, let them pick, and that's what we talk about. So today on the Diamond Forum, we're going to have on the panel Ice Pack Tally Jackson. He is one of the music producers whose music that I promote on the show, and he's currently in rotation. So we're also going to have Brian T. Shirley. He is the host of the Brian T. Shirley Show, the BTS radio show. I think it's on Kinect, K-I-N-I-C-K. Well, I'll have him make the correction for me when he comes on. And he's also a comedian. He was a guest on the show about a month or so back. We're also going to have my favorite discussion partner, Robert McNulty. He is an entrepreneur and a network marketer. He's been on the show several times. He is so good with talking about different subjects because he knows, you know, a lot about what's going on in the U.S., especially with the government. He loves to talk about government issues. So depending on what the panel feels like doing, sometimes people don't want to be too controversial. They don't want to talk about subjects that are going to upset them or make them seem indifferent in any way. But I just want to say that the opinions on this panel are just personal opinions, which everyone is entitled to. So if you hear something that you don't like, just don't hold it against the person personally, because that's their opinion. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, and everyone is not going to think in the same way or manner that you think. So I just wanted to clear the air on that, because the subjects are controversial today, especially about the immigrant migrant. And what the subjects are we're going to talk about today is when the company closed the doors to the future, businesses that have to sign a non-compete agreement or disclaimer, or just talking about the future of America when businesses close down, period, in general. That's the first half of the show. The second half of the show, we're going to talk about how to stop the surge of migrant children. It may not necessarily be how to stop it. Of course, the men on the panel, because this is all men. These are all men I'm working with, all men today. You know, they may have opinions. Everyone has opinion on what they think the government should do and how the situation should be handled. So let's just respect everyone's opinion and let's just have fun with it today. So just to move on with the show, my name is Lena Jones. I am the host of the show. You can be a guest on the show. Only thing you have to do is send an email to guest@lenajonesdiamondnetwork.com, or to shorten it up, ljdnshow@gmail.com. Music promotions are done to promote indie artists, up-and-coming artists, people who are not yet there yet, but out there making music that want to be heard or have it on the radio in some form, even though this is not your radio that you're turning on the car, not yet, but it is the internet radio. And the good thing about internet radio, just like Sirius, it could be seen all over the world. So you have different people that listening for from different places. And I just want to say to my listeners to thank you. Thank you for listening today to the show. Thank you for supporting the show. And I ask that you continue to support the self-employed entrepreneurs, artists, talents, authors, and all of those things of that sort that you do. Today I'm going to be promoting music from Norma Jean Angel, giving a shout out to her, to That Boy Clipper, shout out to him, and he has a new song, but I don't have it in the studio. And the other one is Cosmic Crash, giving shouts out to all three of them. I'm going to be promoting their music today. And then, of course, if there's some time left, we're going to have Sweetie Pie do her thing. I've been neglecting Sweetie Pie. Sweetie Pie haven't been able to do much of anything. I just want to talk about my hashtags. Oh, well, before I talk about the hashtags, the show, I remember telling you guys about me trying to have the show's own entity. And I've been working hard on trying to do that. There are some things that I need to do in my own personal business with Video by Lena. One is to get my site updated because I have been neglecting it like crazy. It's not so much that I don't have clients, but I don't, my clients already know I exist, or, you know, by word of mouth or things of that sort. But I do have to work on that, so I will be working on my personal business website, and I have a new videographer that I'm so stoked about. He's done video for CNN and things like that, news reporter. So I'm really stoked about getting started with him and doing some things not only just within my site but locally as well. So I'm excited about that. We got a line of guests waiting to come next month. And I do have a Facebook page for the Lena Jones Diamond Network Show. And that is Lena Jones Diamond Network Show. You can find it at LJDN Show on Facebook.com. Go to there and like me or be my friend or something. I'm trying to build without using a click farm. And I know that's going to be hard because people will purposely not follow you. I already know all that. So if I'm building slowly, you know, just bear with me and just give me a boost, give me a like or something like that. I'd appreciate it. And the website will be coming out next week, as a matter of fact. Next Monday, Labor Day weekend, I always have a big festival planned for the end of the summer. So my show will be on pre-record. It will be a recording of Regina Puckett and Jacqueline Harmony, Blue Harmony. I will be having them on the show as a recording, pre-recorded. So listen in. If you didn't get a chance to listen to our interview, that would be a great time to start listening in on it. So show your support for the authors and the entrepreneurs. I can be reached at Diamond Network, hashtag Diamond Network, hashtag Diamond Territory, hashtag Diamond Love, hashtag Diamond Delights, hashtag Diamond Forum. And, of course, the Diamond Delights are music people. So speaking of music, I just want to tell you something. I had sent an email. I do a lot of sending emails. I do a lot of typing. I maybe type maybe 125 words a minute, maybe even more. I don't know. But I'm not good at editing and going back and putting in periods and commas and stuff, which I should, but I'm just not good at that stuff. And it was so glad to hear authors have someone else to do that for them when I talk to them. But I sent out this email to this one particular group, which I'll let you know later on who they are. Some of you have heard of them, some of you haven't. And I looked at the email like two or three times, read over it, fixed everything that I thought was wrong with it, and thought it was absolutely fine to send off. Well, once I got the reply from the person, and I'm sitting there and reading what I wrote, how come I got three or four or five different mistakes, words that's in there that shouldn't be in there, words that should be taken out? You know, and it's just frustrating. I just wanted to say that because there's someone else out there that's going through the same thing. It's like, oh my gosh, how come my eyes can't see my own mistakes? And I guess it's because I'm reading the way I'm thinking it should come out, and it just doesn't do it. Anyway, I can be reached on Facebook, Stage 32, Pinterest. And on Pinterest, you can link to all the shows and see pictures of the guests and things of that sort. LinkedIn, Google+, and my newest Facebook page, the Lena Jones Diamond Network. And I have a new Twitter, LJNDSHO, Lena Jones Diamond Network Show. It doesn't have the W on it. It wouldn't let me put it on it. So I am on Twitter, so you can hook up with me on Twitter for both channels. It's new. There's nobody there. Come in and follow me. I'm not going to do the buying. I was going to buy some followers, to be honest with you, but I changed my mind. And I'll do this the right way. So we're going to be back with the Diamond Forum panel. And before we do that, we're going to hear a song from Norma Jean Angel, one of the ones that I really, really like, called Love Sweet. So, Sweetie Pie, take it away. Norma Jean Angel with Love Sweet.
I'm ready.
Yes. All right. We just heard from Norma Jean Angel. Love, sweet love. She's a little sick, so I just want to give her a shout out, and hopefully she'll feel better and she'll be back up and touring in no time. Right now, I do have two of my guest panel on for the Diamond Forum. I have Mr. Music Producer himself, Ice Pack Tally Jackson, and another talk host radio show, and the comedian, Brian T.S. Shirley. You guys want to say hello?
Oh, hello there.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm here. I'm alive and thankful to be here. So just to get, we're going to move right on into the subject. I'm going to come up with the first discussion. I'm going to announce it. When companies close the doors to the future. Now, that's pretty much a two-part question because it's two issues to talk about here, and that's companies just closing down, period. When you go to work one day and you come back the next day and the door is closed, you know, there's no way to contact anyone, you don't get that last paycheck, and things of that sort, which I'm quite sure we've all seen in the news before that it's happened. And the other part to that is the non-compete agreement. And to elaborate on the non-compete, just in case anyone is not sure what a non-compete agreement is, it's a contract. And, you know, it's similar to for a trade, or you can't go against another business during the time that you're working there and for a certain amount of time after you are not working there. And it protects the from losing their trade secrets and engaging in certain businesses that might coincide with what you were doing and working for the competitor, basically. So which one want to – let's go ahead and get started with Brian. Brian, let's see what you – what is your take on this subject?
Well, I think this needs to be looked at in depth a little bit. It's hard to paint this with a broad brush and just be general with it, because I've actually had this happen in my profession, believe it or not. Being a comedian, and I've done it 20 years, I've worked all across the U.S., Japan, Bahamas, so I do have a little bit of credence with this. I'll go to a town, Indianapolis, Myrtle Beach, you know, wherever, and sometimes in the contract I get from the club, and I'm not going to say which one, it will say, you know, by taking this gig or, you know, job, whatever you want to call it, that I'm agreeing that I will not work for another club within 50 miles or 100 miles or whatever within 6 months or a year or something. So I've gotten these contracts before, and unfortunately, you know, just what can you do? It's like, well, I guess I have to, you know, I'm taking the gig, and, you know, you don't even sign. It's just the fact that you take the gig, you're agreeing to whatever, you know, they send you. And it's been a big thing in comedy for years. I think the clause is restraint of trade, I believe, legally is what this is called when companies do this. I mean, we're I believe Tally is in the same boat. We're independent contractors.
Yeah,
whenever
I was
we are working. So we're not directly employed. As an employee, we're independent contractor, yet we come into these things also.
Right.
And with bands, sometimes it's a little bit different, because even where I live here in Charleston, South Carolina, I'll see a band, you know, advertised for so-and-so club, and then 2 weeks later they're doing another club, you know, right down the road, and there doesn't seem to be any problem with that. But, but of course, Tally, you probably have stories where, you know.
Yeah, tell us about something here.
As a comedian, man, I'll just do this real quick and let Tally respond. This happened, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago here locally. I was doing 3 different clubs in the area, which is a dream, as you know, and Tally, you can attest to that. It's, you know, when you're close to home and you're getting work, that's just nice. And
right.
But we're talking, the areas were 30 to 5 minutes apart from each other. And the booker who had me at one, the guy who thinks he's the, you know, comedy guru here, you know, sent me an email or a message, a text, I think it was, saying I better think about what I'm doing, you know, with working 3 different rooms in the same week especially. And I don't have to tell you what I said to him, I wrote him an email. I didn't cuss or anything, and I didn't call him because that's when, you know, it would have really came out. So I wrote him a 2-3 paragraph email, very professional, outlined that, hey, when I go to other towns, I have to deal with this, you know, and I have no choice. Here in my hometown, I'm not dealing with it. If you don't want, I tell you what, you take me off anything you have for me right now, and I'm not going to do it. I was ready to cancel the gig right there. I was like, you know what,
right.
You know, forget it. Just you take me out of your work. I'm going to work wherever I want in my hometown. If you don't like it, I'm not working for you. And I got to tell you, 5 minutes later, he was on the phone apologizing and moving me up a position from V-track to headliner. And but that's my take, just that little bit from, and then we'll continue on, obviously. But go ahead.
Well, I know what you're talking about. I haven't encountered that in places like Boston or Washington. They have like 3-block-long sets of clubs, and you can play a club a night for 2 months straight, and then go back again and start the cycle over again. And I've never encountered that at all in Washington or ages ago in the Cambridge area, you know, where all the colleges are.
Right.
But that sounds pretty ridiculous. And when I was a computer programmer in California, what we used to do is, you know, you'd sign something, but as far as, you know, jumping ship, these companies, you would be sitting in your cubicle, and you could hear the headhunters from the other companies calling, you know, and if somebody didn't answer, they, you know, the next cubicle would ring, and then the next person would say, sorry, I'm happy where I am, blah, 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 blah. But some people would just jump ship and go from one company to the other and make an extra $5,000 just from jumping ship.
Right.
Wow.
And that would be, you know, in the trade secrets of the company, but it was just standard programming. So, you know, there were no secrets to be had, but I'm sure in some businesses where they're really dealing with trade secrets, they would have to sign an agreement. I've never encountered that in the music business, and or the computer programming business, and people would, you know, somebody would get real mad, and that one day the phone would ring and they'd take the job and they'd get an extra $5,000-$10,000 right off the bat.
You know, that's really interesting how. It was just, the subject was just discussed from two different situations. Even though, Tally, you as an entertainer have never encountered this, Brian, however, as a comedian, has encountered this. And
I don't know why in comedy that would occur.
Oh, yeah, and it still does. I can,
really?
I can name the cities. I can name the cities right off the top of my head where I know it's still going on, and I'm not going to name any names right now.
But
I actually got an email from a club owner asking me, hey, they're opening a new club that's, I don't know, 10 miles away or however far it was away. Maybe not that far. Maybe it was 5. I don't know. And this club owner said, I'm going to send out an email to all the comics on my roster saying, if you work for that club, you're not going to work here anymore. And I said, don't do that.
Wow.
You can't do that because, first of all, you're going to lose comics right there because they're going to say to themselves and to you, that bee ain't going to tell me where I can't work. And then the other thing is what if that club closes? You know, you got the better club to begin with. let them do whatever they're going to do. Let nature take its course, you know. I heard some things that this other club was doing. They were using openers as feature acts, and they were doing stuff like that, you know, keep it cheap. And whenever clubs do that, especially when they're not established, that's just going to kill business. I mean, I just know. So, but she went ahead, you know, the person went ahead and did it. And, I mean, I think it's fine now. But still, I just, and I'll get, y'all go ahead and say whatever you're going to say, but I do have some points on what you brought up, Tally. I think there's some, that's great points you had about the headhunters and everything.
Now I have never been in that situation with as far as a technical, and I've been a techie for years. I've never encountered that. I did, however, encounter it when I went into sales. When I went into sales, I did have to sign a non-compete, and that's because you gather customers, and these clients are pretty much your babies. You take care of them. You know, any concerns that they have, you're on it, proving that you're a good account executive. And because you've established this relationship with these people and they trust you, if something happens within a company and they have to close the doors and you have to move on, you want to take those customers with you. You want to take them clients with you because that's your money right there, especially if you're going into another company that's doing the same line of whatever business it is.
Right.
Now, I've encountered that where you couldn't take those clients with you. So if you left, be it whether they closed the doors or not, or you just wasn't satisfied in the direction the company was moving, you were not allowed to take those clients with you, and you pretty much had to either start from scratch, or if the clients liked you enough to be discreet about it, it kind of puts you in a bad situation,
yeah.
A double-edged sword, you know, because now you're at that client's beck and call, because if you do one thing wrong, you know, they could go back and say, hey, you know, this person is doing this and that, and you could very well face a suit from it. So it is really, I'm realizing just how big this non-compete thing is. From headhunters with Tally to shows, bookings, and things like that. And
yeah.
Nowadays, every type of business is unpredictable. Not just, you know, not just the technology, but shows, clubs. You know, you hear all the time about clubs closing down. So what do you do when you're booked? You know, and that's your money. You know, you expect that, and the club closes. And you're told, especially if you're local, that you can't go to another place, be it band or a comedian, or sale, for that matter. So it affects so many different areas.
I've never encountered that in my life, but you know, I have been in retail as a store manager, and. Luckily, the two managers at the same chain, it was a radio blah, blah, blah chain, and they were such jerks, they would send people my way because I was the last option. And my customer clientele blew up because I treated the customers right. If I didn't have it, I'd send them to where they did have it. And they'd come back and love me even more and buy something since I told them the truth. I wouldn't say, oh, I gave you the wrong button cell battery, but I'm not taking it back in return. Now that's dealing with customers like that is purely ridiculous. And there are managers like that, you know, in every business. And of course, I got sent all the losers because the other managers thought they were going to be DMs, and they were like kissing the real DMs took us. And knowing that there was no more district manager positions going to be available, they would like go do all the DMs work, and which one was recruiting. So they would take all the good people I would send to come back to my store, and they never came back. And I'm going, wait a minute, something's wrong here. And finally one guy came in, and I said, I thought you were going to work here. He goes, oh, no, they sent me somewhere else.
So I just stopped
recruiting, and all the kids that they sent me, I'd have a line out the door. The customers didn't want to talk to them because they would just either lie to them or make something up, and you know. And there are certain phone companies just don't work in my area, and I refused to sell them. I said, this phone will work everywhere. And, you know, it was easier for them to make a sale with the phone that didn't work, even though they knew it didn't work. And that is, you know, and I'd say, why are you doing that? And that's the phone they wanted. I knew they were lying, but, you know, it just boggles my mind the way people think. You know, or if somebody walked up to the cell phones, you know, they'd drop what they were doing and run up to them, and I'd say, hey. And they'd come in looking for a watch battery.
Okay.
I'd say, take the next person in line. Don't pick and choose.
Okay.
You know, because you help them with the button cell battery. Then you talk to him about a cell phone.
Right.
Not the other way around. If they're looking at a cell phone, don't say to a customer, excuse me, I'll be right back, and not come back.
So, I mean, customer service,
that is the thing I've never encountered, but I see where it would be, like Brian said, pretty ridiculous. There is a musical instrument store in my area, which record LPs and CD store opened 100 feet away, and he had the CDs sitting at his counter, but he never tried to sell any. And the new guy opened, and he was, like, selling stuff out the door. So the guy walked over and said, well, you can't sell CDs in my area. It's like, well, who the heck are you? So I just walked in and took my CDs out of his store. I said, you don't play that.
Wow. And it affects us as entrepreneurs and self-employed, because we're in it to make money for our business. And if someone tells you that you can't do X, Y, and Z, you can't do a website for me if you're going to do a website for the store next door, you know, that's just, I think that's selfish for one thing, and it's stopping you from making money too. So it affects us all as entrepreneurs, no matter what line of work that you do, even though there may not be a physical non-compete agreement or disclaimer, you have people that you would work with that will actually want you to not do other things with other people.
Right.
Just for the fact that, you know, they want you to keep you exclusive. And to me, exclusive means money. If you want me to be exclusive to you,
but if you've got CDs sitting there collecting dust,
are you going
to and not
me?
Even trying to sell one, then why do you have them?
Yeah.
Let that guy who's in the record, you know, selling business deal with it. You know,
well,
and they're still collecting dust, but mine aren't in there.
I think what's ridiculous about it is that, you know, a lot of the time it seems these companies, and I can understand if there's, you know, trade secrets or whatever that might actually really, you know, damage the company. That I can understand. And maybe, you know, this needs to be looked at a little further by, powers that be. But when it's just something that's not life-altering, like a comedy club or, you know, a CD, making people go through all this. For one thing, what if the company keeps, you know, you sign this and then the company treats you like total crap?
Wow.
So, I mean, That's what I worry about, is that these companies can do this, and then they can treat their employees however they want and go, well, hey, you signed the thing. You can't leave, or you can't go over there. You'll have to move to another state or city or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what bothers me about signing these things. And, you know, once you know, they smile at you, and then once you sign it, all of a sudden the fangs come out, you know. That's what I worry about.
Yeah, I don't understand that whole line of thinking. Now, it's stupid because look what happened with what's his name? The Brian guy, Snowden.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, he's working on a loan with World Trade Secrets, and now Putin has, you know. He can play chess, and he knows what moves the United States is going to make. You know, four laptops full of info.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about, you know, that's about the highest you can get as far as, you know, talk about a non-compete clause.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand why he's still sitting over there, and that's just a weakness on our part, to me. To be honest with you.
Well,
I'd say that no matter who was in the White House, but that
he was in Hawaii, and they didn't have a check double check system, you know.
Right,
and,
but he shouldn't be over there. You got a strong, you know, person. He's here, you know. I don't understand that. He's still sitting over there.
Yeah,
and
he's closely guarded. You know that.
Right. But,
and they've already got the laptop downloaded, so that's lost information.
Well, you know, someone told me about that Snowden situation. They're going to pump everything that they can out of him, and all of a sudden he's just going to disappear.
That could be very, very plausible.
I don't think all
I'm surprised he's still alive.
All of it was in his head, and... I think they owe him, and at some point, you know, he might disappear, but he won't. Who knows who'll take care of the disappearance?
Right, you'll never find that out.
Like I said, all of it wasn't in his brain; it was in the laptops, which he handed over to him.
Mm-hmm. What's you know, we just had an espionage agent. I think three, 4 years ago, they poisoned him. And it took him, you know, a couple of days to die, but they still don't know who did that.
Yeah.
And this was
Was that here?
No, I believe it was in Europe.
Europe, you know, it's like the Wild Wild West when it comes to, you know, dealing with spies and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what's in your food.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, and that may have been how they got it to him. But going back to the non-compete thing, I think whenever these companies do this, if they're going to be making employees sign something like this, we should be able to say, okay, if I got to sign this, here's my requirements or whatever, you know, something that you can attach to that. Okay, I'm signing this, but here's, you know, if this happens, then this is null and void. In other words, you know, if they do start, you know, let's say you're signing, you're doing 40 hours a week, and that's it, and you're on this much, you know, here's your pay, 40 hours a week, whatever.
Right.
Then they start pushing you to work more and more. You've got that thing saying, whoa, wait a second now.
I signed this clause,
and I attached this to the, that if you're willing to be making me more, then this is going to happen. You know, so I think we need to have some leverage as folks. And I don't necessarily think the union
but who looks
come
out
in on
for
this,
us, though, Brian, in Tally? Who looks out for us? Who looks out for the entrepreneur, the self-employed, regardless of what it is that you're doing, if you need the business? And whether it's by...
Well, this is going to sound probably extremely either conservative or extremely, rugged pioneering or whatever, but I think if you are an entrepreneur, you are going to have to look out for that. And I mean, I say that because when you walk down that entrepreneurial road, ultimately you're going to be responsible for everything. I mean, that's just the way it is, and that's and to be honest, it's the way it should be, because you will reap all the rewards, or you'll reap the other side of it. So, unfortunately, you educate yourself. You know, you do these all the things necessary to make sure. And sometimes it's a learning process all the way through until you die. Once you go down that road, that's how I feel about it.
Oh, well, I've learned from CD number one moving into CD number two. And, you know, somebody claimed that he owned half the record company, and it's like, I haven't said anything against it, just not to fan any flames. But let him dream on, you know, he's already a millionaire, so, you know, just a waste of time. And, you know, he's feeding off of that, but I've incorporated, so he's got nothing to say now.
Right.
And excuse me?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Well,
another thing that I did was incorporate, and that was, a good move on my part.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the thing right there. See, people listening may have just learned something right there. But I'm not saying we go down the road alone as far as, you know, there's no help anywhere. But, I mean, shows like this help. There's now you have the internet. You can go on there and really educate yourself, you know, concerning what's going on with your career or your, you know, genre of your career or wherever you're at. But, I think, you know, when I say educate yourself, hey, look, going online and connecting with folks like y'all, you know, that's another way of educating yourself, because now you're making a circle of people and you can turn to and say, you know what, this happened. And then they got Tally going, well, you know what, maybe you want to incorporate. So,
never thought about that. I would never have thought about incorporating your company name or whatever just to protect it from things like this.
Yeah.
Because as a consultant, because I have a lot of people that come to me and consult with me as far as my personal business is concerned.
Right.
And I'm giving away information, you know, and I think about that. You know, what if they use the information I gave them and, you know, go to compete with me? Or in a situation where I was just did not too long ago where I helped someone out, gave the person information, insider secret to me, they are, and thinking that, you know, this person was going to, you know, come together with me or collaborate, and then you just didn't hear anything, and then when I did do some investigation, I find that the person is pretty much doing their own thing off the advice that I gave them.
The first thing I would do is start charging them for consulting.
But one you were supposed to do, you were supposed to go into like a partnership, a collaboration with them. And you know things that they don't know. So you're kind of, you know, giving them some knowledge to help the thing that you're doing together. Okay.
Right.
But then eventually that person, you know, comes up with excuses why they can't do this and that, and you find out something different, you know. So I'm just SOL,
you know,
basically, right?
That's almost, that's like saying, how do you protect yourself from a shark when you get in the water, you know?
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing. There's times in our lives and our careers and our professions or whatever that you just don't have any protection, and there's no way to be bulletproof in this world,
and
it never has been. But you try to educate and protect yourself as much as possible. Then you reach out and you help people, and you hope, you know, it doesn't have to come back, but you hope sometimes it will. And then sometimes you do feel a little sting in your back, and that's a knife.
And when you're in the public's eye, that makes the sting hurt even more, because if you come out against that person, you don't know what repercussions you may get back from your audience.
Right. Well, I don't bash dash people in public.
You know, so you just got to go on. You got to smile and grin and take it.
Yeah,
you know, you
yeah.
Why you're being kicked up the butt.
Right.
I've had the same things happen to me. I've had jokes stolen. And when I was young in my career, when I'm like the MC, you know, the five-minute guy, you know, then I got the headliner who's, of course, everybody's going to believe him, steal my joke, wants to buy it. I won't sell
right.
it to him. And
mm-hmm.
then the next thing I know, I go to try to get work at a club, and the club owner goes, "You're funny, but you're doing so-and-so's joke." And I said, "That's not his." He wanted to buy it.
Ouch.
I wouldn't give it to him. That's my
yes.
joke. And I said, you know what? And then I've been told by people you should drop that or whatever. But I said, you know what? The hell with them. I'm going to do it. As a matter of fact, now I'm doing it. It's, you know, it used to be a minute. Now it's like 8 minutes. Because my point is, it's my damn joke. He stole it. I'll keep doing it. I don't care what anybody says. You know, that's
yeah.
sometimes what you got to do.
Or you can do a standard, poor man's copyright.
Poor man's
write them down
copyright.
And mail them to yourself.
Yeah. I did that, yep.
Yeah, I heard that you could do that. I heard that that's a way to copyright your stuff is to print it out, write it down, sign it, and mail it to yourself and have it registered.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. I got an unopened envelope sitting in my room. Of course, now a lot of those jokes I don't do anymore. I've had it so much since. I'd have like 14 envelopes sitting in here.
Yeah.
That's funny, Tally. As soon as you started saying that, I went, I know what he's going to say. Poor man's copyright. That's
yeah.
right.
Hey, I mean, it is what it is. Your reality is that, you know, in order to copyright something, that costs money. And, you know, being a struggling artist or business person or whatever you do, not all the time that money is available to you to do that. So a lot of people don't know that you can write it out, send it to yourself, registered mail, and when you get the when you sign for it with the post office, you just don't open it. Put it in a place
right.
where you know
right.
where you can get back to it in case you need it somewhere down the line. Poor man's
yeah,
copy.
Right. And then sort
yep.
it by good joke, bad joke, and you know, you get two folders.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and those folders would change over the years, too.
Yeah, you move one to the other, or add
yeah.
upon it, you know, whatever. But, you see, as soon as you record something or speak into record your jokes on a recorder, it's copyrighted.
So what about email? What about email? If you send someone an email and you attach a document to it of something that you wrote and you email it to them, is that the same thing? And that's something I've been curious about. Because the email keeps the timestamp, you know, the email that it came from and where it was.
Yeah, but if you seal it up, yeah, same thing. I don't think it would hold up in court as much as truly copywriting, but, you know, songs are easier like I said, the easiest way is to record it, which puts a time stamp on it because it gives you the date, or even a video.
Yeah.
But
I know the
easiest way is to type it out and mail it to yourself. What's it cost? A couple of bucks.
Right. I do know this, though, that if you, as far as contracts go, if you're, sending somebody a contract, all right, here's the date, here's the money that you get a hotel room, okay, and, you know, everything's confirmed, and, you know, you've got it saved, that's basically a contract, and it will stand up. That's what I've been told. Now,
we're talking about email. Is this email
yeah.
you're talking about?
For,
okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about emails. You email somebody, you know, they email you, do you want to do this city for this much money? You email back, yes, and then, okay, I'm confirming it, because I always do that. I always confirm.
Right.
Yeah, they tell
yeah.
me and everything.
Yeah.
But I, you know, radio show, whatever I'm doing, I always say, okay, yeah, let's confirm this. And then you
yeah.
got that.
I like
that. That's as good as a contract.
Yeah, and that's the way I see it, too, because with me, when I do the show and I have guests like you guys on, I always ask for pictures, you know, and whether be it that you say, okay, I can go to Facebook to get it or you send them to me, but if you okay me to get your pictures, when I see your pictures, you know, whether you send them to me or not, you've given me permission to get your picture. And I
get
I get the picture and I put it up, and sometimes I understand that, you know, these guys, men and women both that I'm dealing with, have busy lives. And not all the time they can get go and attach a picture and send it to me. So it's helpful for me to go into their Facebooks and things of that sort and look at their photos. And plus I get to learn more about the people themselves. It, to me, it's more like a personal touch when you, when
right.
you see them with different people and different places and things of that sort. So, and so I always save all my emails because I don't do anything by writing because I don't think I would get any guests in if I had to wait for the letter. But when it comes to songwriting and jokes and things of that sort, even clients or something, you know, writing them down and mailing them to yourself is registering. So, I mean, it is a good thing. I mean, the original discussion was about the closing business, but with closing businesses while you have a non-compete disclaimer. So we have moved more into the disclaimer part on ways to help out each other.
Yeah.
Help out people people like
can I
us.
Just make,
go ahead.
Can I just make one point about
business
and with this no-compete things? It's a little bit off of the track, but I think it ties back into it. I think if companies, now employees have to do their part, they have to be good employees. Let's get that out of the way. But I think if companies would treat their employees better in this country, and we're seeing a shift from, you know, a lot of money, you know, the middle class is separating from the lower class and the higher class. I mean, we're getting a lot of separation between the classes now.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is because the money is not getting back to the people that are working, you know, basically.
Right.
The government's taxed them too much, and then they're paying too much for their bill. So it's just going away.
And then some states don't even charge a tax.
Yeah. Now, and then, of course, we're seeing companies go off, you know, this is another conversation for another time, but a lot of companies going off seas to, you know, people complaining about that. The government's complaining now about these businesses taking their, you know, they're saying I'm all out of the country to avoid tax. And I got to look at the government and go, hey, quit taxing the hell out of people. Maybe they'll quit doing that.
Well, that's how this country got started, by a tax revolt.
Yeah. So, but my point is let's go back to the companies. They own a lot of responsibility of all the stuff that's been going on. Very few companies operate this way. I can't pull it out right now to tell you which one, but it's a small percentage. I think it's about 2%. Here's the way these couple of companies operate. Whenever we went through that recession or whatever, you saw a lot of companies, and I was, you know, I still have to do deliver pizza or whatever sometimes when my industry takes a hit. And you know, Tally, one of the first things that goes is entertainment. When that recession hit, I can't tell you how many clubs closed and what are we doing?
And I know your club owners also go, how many people can you draw?
Right.
How the heck am I supposed to know until I hit the stage?
Right.
You know.
So when these recessions hit and these hard times hit, these companies cut from the bottom. I mean, we all know that.
And they go to DJs.
So now I'm talking across the board, companies. But there's like 2% out there that do it this way. Whenever the tough times hit, they don't get rid of their bottom employees. They don't get rid of their middle employees. The guys at the top, they don't get rid of. Obviously, they stay, but they cut back on their bonuses. They cut back on their vacations or whatever. Yeah, excuse me. I'm here.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
There's a very few of these companies that do that. They, you know, they take the hit at the top rather than screwing the employees that have been serving them all these years.
Working hard the whole time.
Right. And I think that's something that needs to be taught, ethics or something. We need to, that needs to be spread around a little bit, because that's what's going on. We saw it in, not even in, not just in these big companies, but in our government. You know, having these lavish parties. This is in the middle of recession. They're having lavish parties out in the government. I mean, what the hell, you know? And they're sitting here saying, now we got to tighten our belts. And then they're out there.
Well, it's like that. That movie, The Landlord, with Joe Pesci. Didn't they send him to live in his own apartment building for a month?
Oh, man, I didn't see that. But that's
that's an old movie. Yeah, it's hilarious. But it's
that's
the same thing. I mean, these people,
once they
make it to D.C., they will lie, cheat, and steal to stay there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, and
they don't want to go back to Iowa.
All the benefits and all the taxpayer money that's going to pensions.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're right.
You know?
Now, how do we end all this, be it government, be it businesses and everything? Just what you're doing, Lena, the entrepreneur spirit. Let's take our money and let's take our votes elsewhere. That's the way to solve a lot of the problems in this country right now.
And it's, you know, When you get together people who are, I'm not calling us nobodies, so don't take it offensively, but to people who are higher up, we are nobodies. But when you get a nobody that's willing to go out there and find some other nobodies and get together and have a voice, then you're putting yourself in danger. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I live in the Hamptons, and there are so many celebrities and billionaires, billionaire musicians that could write a check for 10 grand or 100 grand to help somebody out, and they do nothing.
Yes,
right.
They don't. And the middle class is struggling. The middle class is struggling.
I don't think there's
bad.
A middle class anymore.
Well, you know,
I think it's upper class and lower class.
You know, well,
it feels like it. I tell you that much.
I know it does.
I know I've got no
like
class,
it.
But
and,
you know,
it's like us with these companies that's just feeding off of us when it comes to the exposure and the advertisement. That's what got me, is that you have the self-employed, the entrepreneurs, the people out there trying to sell something or get themselves noticed. You got company bottom feeders that call you on the phone and say, "Hey, look. You contract with me for a year, paying me X amount of money a month, and we got billions of people that follow us, or billions of people that liked us on Facebook and stuff, and feeding you all this, and you go ahead and you sign that contract, $50 a month, $30 a month, whatever it is, to get your advertisement out there, and for a whole year you don't have not one person." I have run across that too many times with people like myself, and that's what made me angry enough to bring on a show that would give people exposure and people who play music that just never get heard, never gotten heard, you know, because the radio stations play the popular one. You know, it's like you constantly have to fight. You're constantly fighting and fighting, and then times you want to know, who's going to fight with me?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I've gotten to the point where, you know, people say, "Well, I'll be your publisher, blah 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 a month." It's like, I'm doing better than you, and you got a team of five people, and I'm getting just as good public relations as you could ever get me.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you
I'm
up. Well, let me just say what I'm up against. Here's what I'm up against in my industry right now is especially when clubs started closing and entertainment, the stuff on TV starts get canceled because they're crappy. Well, what happens is these actors, and some of them may have been a comedian for like 5 minutes before they did their sitcom, but now once their sitcom gets canceled or they're not in movies a lot, what's the first thing they do? They start going to comedy clubs. And
right.
They don't get they don't go through the route like, you know, what I've been doing for 20 years. You know, they go straight to the headline spot, you know.
Right.
And so guys like me that are out here, we either get kicked down to middle or we just don't get, a call back. I mean, I've gotten so – I'm doing more now than I did 10 years ago. I've got a radio show, web series, been to Japan, Carnival Cruise Lines, all this stuff, and – sometimes it's hard to even get anybody on the phone because I don't have an HBO special, or I wasn't in Myrtle Manor.
Or you weren't on Storage Wars or whatever, you know.
And it's really sad how we have to struggle so hard. And, you know, sometimes you wake up. I know I woke up many a day saying, what the hell am I doing? Go find a desk job, sit back in the corner where nobody knows you, but just be content. But then, you know, I get so angry when things are around me, when you want to go out there and you have that spirit, because you have to have a spirit to be self-employed entrepreneur. And I say entrepreneur because entrepreneur creates. They're innovators. They create things. Self-employed is basically having a job that someone else is doing, except for you're not working for anyone else. You're working for yourself, making money. So that's why I say both of them together. But, when you have that spirit within you, there's nothing that's going to quench that fire until you actually get out there and do it. And you may fall on your face a couple of times, but you're going to get back up because you naturally have the spirit of an entrepreneur, a spirit of someone who wants to be independent, you know, and it's not like that we're asking for a lot. We just want to be able to pay our mortgage.
Hey, let me ask you all a question, and we can research this, too, easily. Do they have a Celebrate Entrepreneurship Day? Because if they don't, we might want to start one.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yes. I mean, just to encourage, I mean, when I finish this show, I usually get on Twitter, and I call it Monday's Roar. And the reason why I named it Monday's Roar is because I play songs, I send out videos that has encouragement songs, you know, to keep it going. And I play that for the whole time. You know, when I get replies, I try to encourage people not to give up and to support people like yourself. But that's the other problem. We're not supporting each other. We'll never come together if we don't support each other.
Well, I found that on LinkedIn. It's like, I've got 4,000 connections, and, you know, I'm not going to hit like on what you post. You don't hit like on what I post.
And
now I'm building up a little team, and if they post something, I'll hit like, and if I post something, they hit like. And I've been used by a couple of people, and it's like, oh, no, you've already blown it, buddy. You know, I've gone over and above the Call of Duty for you, and, you know.
And the Facebook thing kills me, too, because I'll post, you know, I don't post what I'm eating or what I did.
Oh, no, that makes me,
you know, I post what show I'm on, like today, you know, I'll post about that, you know, or, you know, my radio show or something. And I had somebody say something to me about, you know, all you do is post about, you know, your shows or your books or whatever. That's, you know, and I'm going, well, I can't tell you what I wanted to say.
That's why you joined.
I was like, you know, at first I was going, well, you know, I'm turning them off or whatever. And then it hit me, and I went, you know, if they're not paying my damn bills, I don't care anymore.
Right.
Kind of where I went,
or are you
know?
The Facebook police?
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
You know, but, you know, I will. I'm going to just intercede on that a little bit there. And that's because one thing that I noticed that a lot of people don't do, which is that people want to be personal with you. And when I say personal, that don't mean you have to give them your whole business. But you have to be personal. Ask someone how they're doing. If you haven't heard from them for a while, say, hey, how you doing? How's life been treating you? That's what I do.
I love being interactive.
And the people love. Just be a little bit more interactive, because we go on there to advertise. That's our main thing. So we're busy posting. And sometimes we need to step back a little bit and just spend some time to try to interact. You know, well, you know,
I did this today,
you know, or something that's not too personal about yourself,
yeah.
or personal enough to be more tangible to your the
no,
audience.
I do agree with that. And sometimes, mm-hmm. yeah, I do find myself taking a breath, stepping back and going, you know, something like, hey, I hope everybody has a good weekend. Or,
yeah.
You know,
something
like that,
yeah,
just to
like
break
that.
It up. I do agree with that. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
And that's what I see on social net. I see a lot of people, they just post. And I like a lot of stuff. I like stuff that people don't even like on me. But I do it anyway because I'm social and I am on a social network. And even if they don't like me, they'll pay attention to what I put out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Because I like their stuff, but I notice they're not personal. It's just post, me. And
right.
I said, look at
right.
this new picture of me. Look at my dog. Or, you know,
yeah.
so it's like, we gotta mix it
here,
up.
Here I am in McDonald's.
Yeah. We gotta mix it up a little, be a little bit more social. It is called a social network. Let's be a little bit more social as entrepreneurs.
Well, I mix it up. I bring in, if I see another band's fan page, I post it because it brings their fans over to my page.
And I do see that. I see that with you, Tally, when I do the promotions, whether you are in rotation or out of rotation. You're always giving props to the other promoters and the other people.
And my endorsements. You know, I tell my endorsements. They're not going to go to your page, and you know, to look at your product. If they see it on somebody else's page, that'll drive them to go look at it.
Okay, and go ahead, Brian.
Well, I was going to say one thing I do, and it's really, I'd rather people do it on my radio show Facebook page, but uh-huh. I don't care if they do it on my personal one. But I tell people, I say, if you want to post something on my, you know, the BTS radio show Facebook page, go ahead, you know,
mm-hmm.
do it. Because I have ran into so many people, you try to post and it says you cannot post on this page, or whatever, a lot of these pages, you notice they're the only ones posting, you know.
Right.
And those pages, to me, I just turn me off. I think if you let people post on your page, that's the best advertising.
Well, also, also, unfortunately, Facebook changes every 3 minutes. And it's almost impossible to figure out how to undo that. You know, I've posted on pages where it doesn't go on to the timeline.
Right.
And people don't know how to change it. It goes off to the side.
When it doesn't post on the timeline.
It'll say, if you want to view your post, look to the left.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all in the settings. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I was on the phone. Go on,
well,
I'm sorry.
You have the pages called, I call them vanity pages, where you just post your stuff. Like, I just created one. And I tell for the Diamond Show. And I tell you why I did it. I did it for a couple of reasons, and that was because, one, I've noticed that I couldn't post things on a certain people's timeline that I promote because they don't have it set up that way. So that I'm missing out on people that could possibly be, you know, listening or following me at the same time. The second one is that I have several different Facebooks, and one of them I allow people to put stuff on the timeline. And I, you know, and I love it. I love reading the video, watching the videos and stuff like that. But then they start people post a lot of different stuff that you're like, oh, my gosh. You know,
on your friends' pages, you can set up an activity log which blocks it until you release it onto your timeline.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I don't know any of that.
Okay.
I just set up
we have really gotten off the subject. The other thing about it that's so interesting with my guest is that we always go back to the social networking subject on any level.
Well, people don't realize how important it is. A lot of these music companies, In fact, I had to take over one on Friday on Twitter, and I had gotten them the first 300 people in March, and he had gotten another 27. Woo-woo. So he emails me the other day, and since Friday, it's up to 1,200.
Okay.
It's just interacting and mixing it up. Before, the only thing you had up there was the number of followers was this, and the number of unfollows was that. He didn't tweet anything.
Yeah.
And I said, well, if you have a question, call me.
Yeah.
Never call me. So finally he says, could you handle this?
Okay. Well, Sally, I'm going to have to cut you short, excuse me, because we do have another subject that people are expecting us to talk about.
Right.
And as much as I would love to continue, because I enjoy talking about ways to help each other on social networking.
Set one up.
Social networking. And I have had several of them, but I can't have enough. Do you understand what I mean?
You heard that, right?
I can't have enough of them because I enjoy the subject, and you get to learn so much that you can do. So I definitely will.
I'm writing that down and mailing it to myself.
Okay. All right, Charlie. Okay, but I'm going to go ahead and move on. I'm going to go ahead and let Sweetie Pie play the next song, which is Cosmic Crash. All My Tomorrows is coming up next. And Sweetie Pie is going to play that. I'm going to chat with you a little bit while that's playing off the line.
We're going to get yelled at, Brian.
No.
I can't wait to hear this.
Don't you ever
take it
say
away.
That on my show again.
Forever, found out
are back on the Diamond Forum panel. We just had a really good discussion. We went from the companies closing to what was going on with the middle class and the taxpayers to how to the poor man's way of getting yourself copyright in case people steal it, to what to do when companies, when you're out there trying to make money, you have one company telling you that if you do it with this company, you're not going to be able to do it here. From everything from entertainment to sales to retail that we talked about. So good subject. And then we went on into the social networking, which I'm not quite sure how we got there. But we were there. So now we're going to move on to our next subject, which is the migrant of South Americans that are coming over the border. And the sub-question to that was, what do you think that we should do to stop it? I mean, I think that that's an indifferent subject within itself. I mean, do you stop it or don't you stop it? So I'm going to start this discussion off with producer Tally. Tally, give us your opinion.
Okay, well, let's put it this way. I'm half black, quarter American Indian, and quarter South American. So my father's parents are dragged here against their will. My grandmother, who is full-blooded American Indian, was born here. And my grandfather came here from Dutch Guiana, which was owned by Sweden at the time. And he got a passport. And all I can say is this is the only border in the world that is not cut off. You can't walk from one country into another anywhere else in the world. Am I correct or incorrect?
Well,
you're correct.
In Korea, you'll get shot.
Yeah. Canada, you can't get the, you know, you can take a boat across, but, you know, the southern border is the only border in the world where you can just walk across from one country to another. Now, why is that?
Well, I think it's been going on too long, far too long, and a lot of people have...
Let me just cut you off. Especially with the terrorism threats going on, you think they would shut that down. And like I said, being part Latino from Dutch Guiana, you know, it's like, it's ridiculous. And there's a reason for it, and it's cheap labor. Where I live, the swanky Hamptons, all the contractors, you know, the people with no passports migrate by a 7-Eleven, and the contractors, either landscapers or building, house contractors, come by and pick up these guys and give them $100 for the day, and they don't pay any taxes on them.
But these are children. Okay, from an adult perspective, whether you have kids or nieces or nephews or cousins or whoever that have kids, should we stop the kids from coming in? Because according to CNN and the news, you know, these kids are faced with poverty and increased violence and robbery, stabbing, shootings, prostitution. And according to what our president says, this is an urgent humanitarian situation, asking Congress for an additional.
So we'll stick to the kids, but it's not only kids.
No, it's not.
Well,
the kids are the ones who are keeping. They're letting
Hold on a second now.
Go ahead.
If we're going to talk about the kids, let me speak to kids then. For one thing, what CNN and the president and just a lot of people are leaving out, yeah, there's kids coming, but are you telling me a 6-7-year-old kid walks from Guatemala to damn, you know, Arizona, you know, by themselves.
With a
bunch of hoes, you know, or
yeah,
whatever you want to call
that's
it.
A, that's a whole line of BS, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, like I said, again, it's the only unsealed border in the world.
It's not sealable, Tally. Can't you see that? We can't seal it.
But there are countries with bigger borders than us in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Israel, as a matter of fact, sealed up theirs, and I think if you measured their mileage on their fence or whatever, I believe it's about the same or maybe even a little bit longer than the one that they have to do to seal us up. Now, you know, you got to feel for the kids, but they're being used. I mean, like I just said, they're not just walking here by themselves.
Right.
I don't know why.
According to the news, CNN, they are. They're walking, they're swimming, they're doing all types of things.
No, but I'm saying a six-year-old kid, Lena, cannot figure out how to make it from Guatemala to the United States.
Yeah.
There's no way. And
so
they got to sleep at night.
Uh-huh.
So there's something else that we're not being told about this. We're trying, they're selling us a bill of goods saying, for one thing, they shouldn't be kept. I'm sorry if they have to go back to poverty or whatever is going on in their country, but there's more to the story than what we're being told. And,
right.
And that's the part that a lot of people don't get. Yeah, why are they not turned away immediately? And I don't care what your kids, adults, or whatever, that blows my mind right there. The reason we're having this problem is because we keep letting them in. I mean, why do you think they still keep coming? You know, yeah, with the land of opportunity and everything, but I don't see any of these people walking and stopping in Mexico or walking and stopping in Chile. They continue walking to get till they get hit. Or do they go through us and then get to Canada? No, they stop.
No,
here.
This is the only unsealed border in the world.
Sally,
it's true. Look at the map.
He's on it. Okay, so I mean. My thing is when I hear about what they face in their own country, our kids face the same thing here in the United States. Stabbing, poverty, prostitution.
Exactly. I agree 100%.
And shootings, you know, same thing. And, you know, it's so controversial because people, if you say the wrong thing, people are like, oh, well, you don't have a heart, you know, feel for the kids and stuff. But I think, I don't feel for the kids because I think every child is entitled to grow up in a way and be able to live out their dreams. And like you said, Brian, you made a good point. They're not walking. Someone is assisting them to some point. Now, either we're getting money from the Mexican drug cartel to get these people and we're asking for more money in return because our government is just greedy like that, or, you know, something is not right. And I feel every child deserves a chance. Every child deserves an education. But when we have kids right here within our own country that's not even getting that opportunity, you're robbing them of that when you're letting other kids that are not even legally supposed to be here
again. Oh, my God. You have said just one of the most basic common sense things I have heard in a long time that has not been said out loud. I have to applaud you, Lena. I did not put that together. That is freaking brilliant because everybody wants us to see. This is what sucks about this whole thing: is the kids. You're right. And then what's worse though is them using the kids, not just the drug cartels, but the our news media and our people up in Washington using them to get more money out of us to take care of these kids. And they have no thought about what you just said. What about the kids in this country that are facing the same things in this country? There's neighborhoods in Maryland, a three-year-old, this just happened right, so I think it was last week, right after the stuff that happened in Missouri. Nobody talks about this stuff. Maryland, a three-year-old got killed because the gangbanging, you know, saggy pants, boyfriend of baby's mama or whatever shot, got mad, and went outside to his car and just pointed the gun at the house and just started shooting. So
they never made it to school either.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know.
So we don't talk about those situations in this country.
Yeah.
No, we have to have the heart tug situation and without the common sense that Lena just, you made everybody look stupid in this situation with that sentence.
Hello.
I'm here.
I think my Skype is acting up, so it's going in and out.
You sound like you're fading in and out.
Yeah, it's my Skype. I don't understand why Skype does this to me on my show all the time. It loves to humiliate me.
What do you have? Comcast?
I have Cox, which is Comcast. You know, in Virginia it's called Cox.
Yeah.
And so it sucks, and you know
it's the NSA, and Lena just said something that blew the lid off of all what they're trying to hide. So they're trying to shut your show down.
Oh yeah.
That's exactly.
what a coincidence, right?
They don't have to do a lot to do that.
Not with Cox or Comcast.
Crush the little guy, or I'm sorry, the little girl. That's what they do.
Sometimes, you know, when I decided to have a Diamond Forum to talk about issues and trending subjects that happen in across the U.S. or other places, it doesn't matter. It's because not only are we struggling and trying to make it out there, we also have an opinion about what's going on in our world today. So I kind of know that I'm putting myself in dangerous grounds as I continue. So if you guys don't see me and see my social network taken down, or you don't see my show anymore, get in contact with me somehow, because I'm probably screaming, somebody help me. They won't let us talk anymore.
No, but I think that's of everything that we could discuss with what's going on with the border. That was a great counter argument. Now they're shipping these kids to different states now. Did you hear about this? They got them
in Oklahoma.
They got them in Virginia,
Washington. After 9/11, I traveled coast to coast a bunch of times on Greyhound.
Right.
And people were getting off in every state in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and they said New Jersey has the most.
What that has to do with these kids being shipped all over, but I'm just saying it's kind of quietly being done. These kids, they had them in these camps, that were coming to the border. Now they're saying it's going to be as much as 70,000. I just read somewhere, What are they doing? They're supposed to, you know, they're processing their paperwork or whatever, so they can figure out if they're going to send them back or not. You know, where are the parents? You know, some of them have crackheads for parents or whatever. Why are the parents here and left the kids there? I mean, there's so much crap.
Parents right here in the United States. And it's just like Tally said, why are we the only ones that cannot seal our borders?
Look it up. It's the only border that's not sealed.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, and somebody failed us along the way, and I'd say it's every person in the White House since we had the ability to seal it up, whenever that was, in the early 1900s, whenever we had the ability and figured that we needed to seal this thing up. From that point on, there's where you can point your fingers. The other thing is, and I just thought about this today before we were going to do this forum, Lena and Tally, this is something I think is important to think about. What is going to happen in 10 to 20 years with all these refugees, that's what they're calling them. Are we going to have, what's the percentage of them that you think are going to turn into criminals? I would think it'd be at least 50.
Well, a lot of the older ones are criminals fleeing from their country.
Right. Yeah, you got that right. But, I mean, you know, here we have innocent children right now, But at some point, I mean, we can't absorb every one of these into a good home. I mean, not everybody can adopt one of these children. So what's going to happen? And I believe a big percentage of them are going to turn out to be criminals.
They have the biggest amount of kids went into New Jersey. Okay, and
okay.
I have family in New Jersey, and they were not, you know, happy about it. So the discussion had came up about it, but they are saying they had 1,500 children that were sent to New Jersey. That's more than they were sent in anywhere else. Now they say that these children from the Health and Humane Services Administration are placing them with families, and get this, they said people who know them and people to care for them, the caretakers. Or other people who speak their language and can relate with them. But on NewJersey.com, it says that they're placing them with people who are not even, shouldn't we first find out whether the people that they're placing them with are even legal?
Yeah.
I mean, what are we thinking, you know? I mean, how can there be people that are higher up than me, you, and Tally in some sort of organization that's getting paid for by taxes? What? I mean, how stupid are we, man? I mean, ultimately, we're the idiots that vote for this stupidity.
Yeah.
I mean, we are. I mean, if we don't start thinking before we go to the box that we put our little votes into, it's just going to get dumber and dumber. I mean, because nobody... How are these kids going to be educated? I mean, you know, she's just told us they're going to people with who knows where they're going. You know, don't ask them if they're legal. Just hand them the kid. Hey, you speak Mexican? Yay. Okay, here, take a little kid. Okay. You know, is that what's going on?
Hey, yeah, we already got 30 people in the house.
This is what Governor Chris Christie said. He said, I think we feel a great sense of sympathy for these children, but we can use some plain common sense, he railed. You don't need a Harvard degree to figure out that if you're going to try to ensure that someone goes to their immigration hearing, that you might want to send them to someone who actually has complied with the immigration laws. That's what the governor of New Jersey said.
Well, I mean, hey, I say keep sending him his paycheck, because at least
well,
he made damn
sense.
Well,
you ever go into a supermarket at the customer service? There's a line of people sending U.S. American dollars back to their country. That's another place where our money is going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
why don't we stop that?
Yeah.
I know that sounds mean. But see,
well,
we
I don't think Western Union would appreciate it.
No, Western
because
Union but
I'd invest in Western Union if I were you.
But, you know, if we took some,
and it would be mean, and if the little bleeding hearts want to go, oh, well, you're mean, who cares? Let's take some common sense steps
and get rid of all this crap. It's not even a matter of being racist or prejudiced in some way, because
I'm part South American, so I can't be. But try walking into Canada.
It's a matter of looking out for ourselves. At one point, we have to look out for ourselves. We're struggling here. We can't afford to give a vote to nobody.
That's an understatement.
But ourselves, you know, and I think that needs to be looked at. And another thing that I've noticed, and, you know, I'm not going to point out any particular names, and it's not even South American, it's other countries as well, that they come here and they work under the table, okay? They don't pay any taxes, okay? But when something happens, if they have a child with ADD, when they get older, the first thing they get is on Social Security. Now, you never put a dime to pay taxes in this country, but you're getting Social Security every month from those that are. Mm-hmm. Now, that had me. When I had, you know, I know some people that's like that, and, you know, that just chaps my hide. I'm just like, I'm not going to have any Social Security.
I'm on disability, and I go to Social Service office, same as the supermarket, packed, and I'm down to $15 in food stamps a month. Why?
Oh, my God. Jeez.
Yeah. And
well,
I'm diabetic.
What does that come to?
Like a dollar a meal? $0.30 a day for a meal.
Jeez.
Free meal.
No, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, here's a guy that's worked all his life in this country, has paid taxes out the yin-yang.
Yes.
You should be getting, they're taking your money, basically, is what's happening. They're taking Sally's money.
For people
and
who
we're
are taking,
2 weeks.
Not doing it. Yeah.
We're too weak because there's too many people out there that say this stuff about being mean and all this crap, and we buy into it instead of going, you know,
I
what,
don't
screw
buy
y'all.
Any of this crap, believe me.
Yeah, I mean, it's time we said to these people that call us names, and I'm an Irish Englishman. I'm as white as you can get. White bread is not whiter than me. Anyway. So if they want to call me racist, I don't care anymore because anyway, I'm not going to qualify it. But the thing about it is until we come together, all colors of us, because let's face it, if you're sitting in this country and you want to succeed, it doesn't really matter what color you are. All that matters is what's in your heart.
We're just getting rooked bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We come together and say, look, we're making some changes now. We got people on the dole that haven't paid in. They need to go. That program needs to go.
Right.
Well, man, up or have an amnesty and say,
if
okay.
If you didn't pay in, you shouldn't get it. That's my, I don't care
exactly.
Who it is. If you did not pay any taxes, you cannot get Social Security, period. If there's nothing on record,
Let me tell you this. When I worked at this radio blank place, this is another scam going on, buying Social Security cards.
Mm.
I've got a 2003 Nissan, and I see people with 2014 SUVs blasting by me. And, you know, and one guy I went to do, actually a couple, I went to do a, you know, you got to fill out a form if you want to get a cell phone.
Right.
And you got to give the social. So the guy pulls out a social, blah, blah, blah. I call it in, and the lady goes, sir, this person's been dead for 10 years.
Mm.
So that's a whole other thing, scam going on, is the sale of Social Security cards.
Mm.
And then you walk into a car dealership, you got perfect credit, and you get a 24, you know. So if I wanted to, I'd go hang out with Brian, buy a Social Security card, and be another person.
And get Social Security.
Right.
So, I mean it moves from one extreme to another. Now, it's children that we initially talked about, but the problem that we're having...
Well, I ain't buying into the children.
It stems from, regardless of whether it's children or adults, it stems from people coming into the country and the taxpayers footing the bill for it. And it stems from us not being able to control our borders. We pay a lot of money for the people with jobs to South America.
We control the northern border pretty damn good.
So,
right.
But
and I don't see a lot of Canadian children walking in here with snotty noses going, where's my Social Security, eh?
Yeah.
I don't see that.
Yeah.
Yes, that is so true. You don't.
You
don't
got
see
a house
Canadian
in New Jersey, eh?
Children coming in here. I mean, I have not seen a news report or read an article where it says we had an...
Oh. We hit a nerve.
NSA got her. I don't know who's on. Us or her.
Yeah. Yep. Kicked her right off the air.
Yeah, I'm here. That's my Skype again, and I'm not understanding.
Yeah, I wonder what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think
bottom line is, do the anti-terrorism, seal the goddamn border. Bottom line.
I agree, because here's what's going to happen, and I would hate to be the president when this happens, and I don't care if it's Obama or whoever's next, because
right.
it's going to happen. Somebody's going to come through there, and they're going to go to a mall, or they're going to go to a football game, and they're going to have an incendiary device, or they're going to have a machine gun, and a lot of people are going to die, and they're going to find out that this guy
just walked across that border.
And then what's going to happen? Then finally, all these little whiners that are going, well, we can't do that. We have to save the children and all this crap. That people are going to go, finally, and go,
I'm not
shut
buying
the hell
the children
up.
Routine.
You're not buying the children.
No, because they're not
nobody's
in here.
Nobody's buying the children.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying
their parents,
that at all.
Some of their parents are already here. That's one thing that's going on. Why? You know, okay, they're going to send money back. Well, why is the kid here now? Well, because he was used to traffic drugs into our country. That's why the kid's here. That's what's going on. That's part of it.
Yeah.
Because the kid don't walk outside and go, all right, I'm going to go play. He's in Guatemala, and the next, you know, 4 weeks later, he's in San Diego. That's not happening.
Well, also the drug cartels are buying submarines from Russia. And then
I didn't know that.
And then they just drop, you know, like send up a buoy up here, and the fishermen go out and pick up the drugs and bring them into the onshore.
Hmm. Well, I mean, there's a lot of white powder with those kids, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah,
there's a, you know.
Well,
we're
just making assumption that that's white.
No, we're not making.
Well, I just read a story. I just read a story that's what the kid did. Of course,
I
think it was marijuana.
And I've grown up out here, and some of these fishermen make their money by going out and picking up things with buoys on them.
Mm.
And another thing is these drugs are not are going to fund. I'm willing to bet some of the money that the coke heads in this country are spending is going straight back to the Middle East and Hamas and some of those people.
That's why I'm saying just seal the damn border.
Right.
And Lena, when you get off the phone, get off of Skype. Do some research and find me another unsealed border in the world.
I don't think I am. I know I'm not, because I did do some research about borders a couple of years ago, because I couldn't understand. I just didn't understand. I mean, I love the culture. I love their food.
Like
the
I Love Lucy where they're
just
cycling across the Europe, and she keeps getting stopped at the border. Any other country you come from, you need a passport.
That's right.
It just baffles me. You know, I went to Japan and came back. Guess what I needed? What he just said, a passport.
Yeah. You couldn't get on a plane and just go there.
No. So why are people just walking in here? You know, and
try walking the other way. What's going to happen?
Exactly. And here's why. And Lena, I think one of the questions you asked originally when this discussion came up was, you know, how is this happening or why is this happening? Well, there's another reason, and that's because a certain segment of our society here in the United States is letting it happen. And
it's all money generated.
They're actually helping this happen, a certain segment of our own citizens. And I'm not talking illegals. I'm talking, right, exactly. There's a certain segment of this country, legal citizens, that are helping the situation get worse instead of stopping it. And it's the people that keep crying out about, no, we can't, you know, we got to feel sorry for them, and we owe them. You know, there's a certain bunch of, I don't know what, I forgot what the name was, maybe Tally can tell me, but in the Mexican, well, in Mexico, they have this thing where we owe them because, you know, we took the land back in eight, whenever the Alamo, you know, back in those days.
Yeah.
Whenever
So,
right.
Oh, yeah,
they,
let's
no,
get
they have
still
signs
different
saying,
from there from before the Civil War, sure. And California.
Yes, they said they have signs and stuff saying we owe them. They come over here illegally, and then they protest.
Yeah.
And people sit and let them do it.
Yeah. You know, it's a hot subject, and you know, we all can sit and talk about it till we're blue in the face. But until
I am
our government,
blue in the face now.
But until our government decides to crack down and do something about it and look out for its own people, we're always going to be in
that ain't going to happen.
The situation. But
all
this, I'm going to have to
talk.
We're going to have to close our discussion. I apologize. I wish I could keep going, but I have to promote my music and I have to say goodbye to my audience. But I thank both of you so much because I really truly enjoy our conversation today. And I will be asking you guys to come back. And at any time you want to come into a forum, just send me an email because I go to look for people to be in forums. So if you, if you have that spare time, it happens once a month, usually the last Monday of the month. So if is where I'm having, when I'm having a forum. So if you have that cleared on your schedule and you want to sit back and get into some conversation, drop me an email and say I want to be in the forum for this month or whatever, and I don't have a problem doing it. So,
right.
But before we leave,
I'm going to do my
research
on borders.
I want to give you guys a chance to, advertise yourself a little bit. So go ahead, Tally, we'll go ahead and go with you, how, you know, what you do and how people can contact you.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know what you just said, but okay.
Well, just
go ahead and promote yourself.
Tally can be promoted on Reverb Nation. You can buy his music there. Are you available on SoundCloud?
Yeah.
SoundCloud too?
Just Google Ice Pack on the website, and I'll pop up everywhere.
Okay, and you can hear his music. He's also I also promote him. He's in rotation right now, and you can hear his songs on
thank
this.
You for that. I can't wait to get the next CD done.
On this show as well. And Brian, go ahead, I'll let you tell about yourself.
Well, they can listen to my radio show, the BTS radio show. They can watch some of the tours I've done, BTS On the Road, that's a web series. All you got to do really is go to about.me/Brian S, and all of my links are on there. It's like a online business page.
Yeah, I just saw that about me. I just checked that out. That's pretty cool.
It is. It is. It's really cool. It puts all your links on one page with a short bio. And you can stick a video up there, too.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I think it's one of the best things I did. Are you folks, you can Google either one of us, too. Brian T. Shirley, just stick that in Google. Or I'm sure Tally, same with you, right?
Yeah, they're all over
there. Yeah, just Ice Pack.
We are
ice
all
everybody thinks I'm a rapper.
that's what I did when I first heard you. You got a name
but
a rapper.
I will be doing a CD called Rap is Crap.
Oh, okay.
and I might collab with Brian on a couple of songs.
Okay. All right.
I love that one.
and then we'll mail each other the lyrics and not open them.
And not open them.
I know you're trying to get off the air.
I'm just going to go ahead and tell Sweetie Pie to go ahead and play the next song, which is That Boy Clipper. We got to hear from That Boy Clipper and All I Know. Sweetie Pie's going to take that away. I'm still on the phone with my two very entertaining guests, Brian T.L. Shirley and Ice Pack and Tally Jackson.
We might start a comedy team, too.
Go ahead, Sweetie Pie. Take it away.
This should be played at high volume. All I know is work. All I know.
know it's touching me. You got some nerve.
Got some nerve.
The WB with a dollar sign. Say there's money,
say there's money.
I'm there on time. All I know is work. All I know is
work.
All I know is touching me. You got some nerve.
Got some nerve.
The WB with a dollar sign.
Say there's
money. I'm there on time. I love this. I love this. They say I'm bragging too much. Fuck you. I'm swagging to the mat. It's me you trying to jack. You ever seen a grown man get smacked? Clipper, all I know is work. On haters, I swerve. Drunk than a muff, muff. Flying with the birds. Only bombers, and that's my word. Talk to you about me, I'm the bully, you the nerd. I'm a cash cow, chopping grass. Fall asleep, counting dollar signs fast. I don't need no bed, just give me my bread. Maybe a bad, bad, give me some hair, and I'm on my way to a gritty day. I love my money, can't stand in my way. White boy swag, and it's still great gang on my mug tag. All I know is work, all I know is work. All I know is touching me, you got some nerve. The WB with a dollar sign. Say there's money, I'm there on time. All I know is work, all I know is work. All I know is touching me, you got some nerve.
Got some nerve.
WB with a dollar sign.
Spend his money,
I'm there on time.
Hey,
haters eyes on me. Glued to me, like I'm a TV. Reality with no screen. Catch me at the strip, ladies wanting my cream. I don't play games, just here repping for Wayne. White boy swagging, still great game. You, cuz, you tryna fuck up my buzz. Go with all the bullshit. The money, I'm a magnet. I pull quick, chase the paper, easy to cash it. Haters swag me, cuz I'm flexing. I'm working, counting wins, hands my weapon. Grit, all I know is this. Not giving up a shit. You try test me, that get you split. White boy in it, yeah I'm winning. Price is always right, Bob Barker's head spinning. Clipper, all I know is work. All I know is work. All I know is touching me, you got some nerve. The WB with a dollar sign.
Say
there's money, I'm there on time. All I know is work. All I know is work. All I know is touching me, you got some nerve. The WB with a dollar sign.
Spend his money,
I'm there on time.
All I know is fuck these haters. It's fuck these haters. Fuck these haters. All I know is get this paper.
It's get this paper.
It's get this paper.
I only have, like, I'm counting down on seconds. I just wanted to say goodbye and thank you for watching, listening to the Lena Jones Diamond Network Show. Please tune in next Monday. And when we will have pre-recorded, I want to wish you all a happy Labor Day, happy and safe Labor Day weekend. Thank you again, and I'm off.